Thank you and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the annual results call for EP Infrastructure for the financial year ended 2020. I'm joined today by Václav Pálíček, the finance director of EPIF, and as you already heard or may know, I'm the vice chairman of the board of directors of EPIF. I'd like to start, for those of you that know me and remember these calls, we did the 2019 results, and I described 2019 as an exceptional year for the company with an exceptional results performance. For 2020, I think the best way to describe the results was an extremely strong performance of EPIF, and we're delighted today to present the full year results for your review. If we go quickly to page 5 of the executive summary, which some of you will be looking at, EPIF remains leading Central European group. We remain operating traditional energy infrastructure assets. We continue to have 4 core operating divisions, the largest of which is gas transmission via our Ustream subsidiary through Slovakia. We're also the dominant gas distributor in Slovakia through SPPE Distribucia. We have one of 3 electricity distribution companies in Slovakia. We are also a large storage operator of gas. We are the monopoly in Slovakia. We also have 23% of the storage facilities in Slovakia, Czech Republic, and Austria. And we also now have a presence in the south of Germany in Bavaria that we purchased at the end of 18. So the business structure, the business strategy remains the same. EPIF wishes to be in regulated or long-term contracted businesses that have at its core the ability to translate a significant proportion of our EBITDA into free cash flow. And we do that by having assets which are extremely well developed, extremely well maintained, and have a low level of maintenance capex going forward, both into the medium term and the long term. So if we actually turn to the results themselves, 2019 was exceptional for those of you that know the gas, natural gas picture. There was uncertainty in 2019 with regards to new transit agreements between Gazprom and Ukraine, which resulted in significant additional flows and significant additional storages of gas in 2019 as Europe prepared. 2020 is a much more normalized year, but again, actually, we saw some strong performances in all of our divisions. Adjusted EBITDA for the 12-month period was 1.526 billion euros, which was down 5% from the 2019 figure. We're very pleased that our proportionate net leverage ratio at the end of 2020 stood at a very healthy 4.1. For those that know, within our Eurobond covenants, we covenant 4.5, so we're well within our covenants. Our adjusted free cash flow, again, I think this is more testament to the strength of the group, was 1.046 billion euros, and our cash conversion ratio for 2020 remained at 69% compared to 69% in 2019. In this figure, I think where I want to concentrate today is we have what we believe is a peer group leading ability to translate EBITDA into cash, and we continue to show this in every year that we report our results. I've mentioned that 2019 was an exceptional year. 2020, very strong year, exceeded our expectations and exceeded, in fact, our budgets for the year. The main event, I guess, in the fourth quarter of 2020, we completed the sale of 2 companies in our district heating division, The first being Praska Teplenska, which is the largest district heating business in Prague. And the second was BERT, or the Budapest district heating generator in Hungary. So those businesses were disposed of. I'll talk a little bit later with regards to strategy and maybe why we felt it was the right time to dispose of those operations. On page six, key company highlights. I've been through this. They don't change. I think point nine is always worth mentioning. We remain committed to our investment grade ratings. We remain BBB flat with Standard & Poor's, Baa3 with Moody's, BBB minus with Fitch, all on a stable basis, and those grades have remained constant throughout the years that EPIF has been operating. And we've added now this year additional improvements to our ESG agenda, which Václav will go through later in the presentation. If we move to page eight, here we have the group structure. Just to remind everybody that the core assets in Slovakia, we own effectively in joint venture with the Slovak state. Slovakia owns 51% of the businesses, and we own 49%, but with full management control. And we have, just in the little table on the right of page eight, the key numbers. And again, I always mention adjusted EBITDA for 2016 was 1.46 billion. For 2017, the same, and 2018, the same. 2019 was 1.6 billion, which I have often spoken of as an exceptional year. And therefore, I think you can see why I described 2020 as a strong year, because the EBITDA was still 1.53 billion euros, which is an extremely strong performance from the group. Adjusted EBITDA remains 833 million, which again is above the long-term average, and the rest of the figures I've already mentioned. On page nine, we look at the individual divisions, and we'll leave some opportunity for questions at the end. Clearly, gas transmission, as we said, 2019 saw extraordinary flows as people positioned for what would or wouldn't happen at the end of 2019. In reality, what happened was Gazprom and Ukraine signed new agreements for 2020, and indeed 4 years following for transmission of gas, with indeed a 10-year option to extend after that. So transmission exceptional in 19. We expected to see transmission drop down to a normalized level of transit, but in fact there were one or two exceptional items that assisted the gas transmission result in 2020. Firstly, the gas storages in Ukraine opened up significantly in 2020, which saw above average transmission of gas west to east into Ukraine. And secondly, we saw Hungarian market took a significant proportion of their gas needs through our network going north to south. So again, there were two exceptional movements of gas in 2020, which resulted yet again in the gas transmission segment exceeding our expectations and exceeding our budgets. Gas and power distribution, absolutely bang on, spot on, forecast budget, totally consistent with what we expected. Gas and power had one or two exceptional items in 19, which we flagged last year would not repeat in 2020. Very robust businesses, very predictable CapEx, very predictable regulatory environment, very predictable free cash flow. Gas storage, well, 2019 was a hallelujah year for gas storages, as storages were full in Europe. Unfortunately, the 2019-20 winter season was quite mild, which meant that storages entered 2020 throughout Europe and Western Europe relatively full. So yet again, gas storage had a performance significantly above expectations and significantly above its long-term contracted revenues. Heat infra had, for exactly the same reason, a more difficult year. A warm winter significantly affected the results of district heating. In addition, we had, on the generation side, we had quite a significant rise in emissions allowances. So the district heating business had a difficult year, both on weather and emissions pricing. And in fact, logically then, that can probably come to a conclusion as to why we felt it was the right time to dispose of two of our core heat infrastructure assets. And I go back to our original proposition that the assets we hold must be able to translate a significant proportion of EBITDA into free cash flow, and it was becoming clear that maybe those businesses no longer fitted with our overall strategic direction. So that's page nine. Overall, though, the EBITDA was 1.526 billion euros. Yet again, whilst the group might seem to some as complicated, by having four assets across infrastructure, there is a natural balance, and that always produces a very stable set of results from the group. So that's a basic introduction to 220, a very strong year. We'll pass now to Václav Halíček, the finance director of the group, who will go through more about the capital structure, peer groups, ESG, etc. Václav, over to you.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome everyone also on my behalf. I have the pleasure to deliver some good news with respect to our capital strategy. Nevertheless, let me start with the benchmarking study that we prepared and is presented on slide number 12, where you can see EPIF in perspective of its peer group. And basically, there is one key strength that Gary mentioned, and I would like to highlight, and this is cash conversion. As you can see, EPIF is able to convert 86% of EBITDA into free cash flow in 2020. And we had the same ratio also in 2019, while our peer group hovers in range from 19 to 54%. So we are truly outstanding in this measure, and it also translates into our ability to quickly decrease leverage or volume of indebtedness if needed. And it brings additional level of comfort for our investors. In particular, if you take 2020 proportionate free cash flow and you apply it to proportionate net debt as of December 2020, you will see that we have ability to fully repay our debt in less than 6 years. And this is unique, namely in perspective of our peers. With that, let's move on to page number 13, where is presented our financing strategy, which is designed around three targets. Firstly, as usual, we do like diversified sources of financing, and recently we started to focus strongly on bond financing, as it brings required stability, which fits well with our business risk profile. And we communicate that we would like to keep in ratio 80 to 90% as a share of bonds on our overall indebtedness. At the year end 2020, the ratio stood at 76%. And with the refinancing that we would like to do in 2021, we should get closer to 90%. Secondly, we like to maintain our rather limited level of structural subordination when we are keeping roughly 70% of proportionate gross debt at the holding level, while the rest is kept primarily in SPPI Group. As of December 2020, the ratio stood at 71%, and we are perfectly happy with it. And thirdly, we always like to increase average tenor of our instruments while optimizing on interest cost. And this is something which we would like also to deliver through refinancing in 2021. In terms of leverage, the cornerstone of our financing, the management target is to keep 4.3 times proportionate net debt to proportionate EBITDA, which is very well supported by 4.5 times dividend lockup, which is included in EPIF financing documentation. As you can see on the following slide, year-end 2020 leverage stood at 4.05 times, well below the covenant, and we have there significant headroom. With respect to recent developments, you know, in January 2020, we refinanced then existing bank debt by drawing a new 400 million term loan and signing 400 million committed revolving credit facility that we keep up until today, and it was fully available, fully undrawn as a year-end 2020 and represent an ample liquidity buffer for our needs. Secondly, in June 2020, EUStream issued a new 500 million bond, proceeds of which combined with own cash was used to repay 750 million bond that fell due in July 2020. With respect to this refinancing, EUStream secured 590 million of committed RCFs as a backup for the refinancing, and after the transaction, the volume of RCFs were reduced to 275 million, which is again the volume that we keep up until today, and the limit was fully undrawn as a year-end 2020. With respect to dividends, in 2020, EPIF distributed more than 1.1 billion of dividends to both of its shareholders, and the unusual amount includes also a portion of proceeds from a disposal of PT and BERT. Obviously, when distributing, we were aware of our commitment to conservative leverage. Therefore, we retain a portion of proceeds within the group. When it comes to events in 2021, you probably know that at the beginning of March, we issued a 500 million bond at EPIF level. To provide more color on the transaction, on its execution, from the beginning, the book grew rapidly to 2.7 billion, which meant the transaction was almost six times oversubscribed, and we had orders from more than 200 accounts. Having issued this 10-year instrument, it's our longest instrument so far, and through this issuance we are also sending a message to the market that we are long-term committed to our existing portfolio of assets. With respect to proceeds from the bond issuance, already in March we repaid 400 million term loan at EPIF that had original maturity in 2025. And with respect to remaining 100 million, we would combine it with own cash, and during April, we would like to repay both Schuldscheins and private placement, which are one of the most expensive parts of our financing. So with that, let's move on to the following page number 14, which shows the main figures, primarily net leverage that stood at 4.05 times, well below our dividend lockup covenant. Here I would like to highlight that for this calculation of proportionate leverage, we are using pro forma adjusted EBITDA of 766 million euro. The pro forma adjustment of minus 76 million reflects the fact that at the year end we disposed PT and BERT, and for purposes of leverage calculation, we are using EBITDA as if PT and BERT were disposed at the beginning of 2020. Therefore, we have a conservative approach to this. Overall, if you look at the capital structure, it's driven by our conservative funding policy, and it's very well underpinned by commitment of the company and also both its shareholders to maintaining investment grade rating. And on the top of that, I would like to mention that already we have a track record of several years when we maintained such a conservative capital structure. We can shortly have a look at slide number 15 with overview of our capital structure. There were no many changes as compared to year-end 2019, except for disposal of PT and BERT. Basically, there are two subgroups. EP Energy, that is kept virtually unlevered until we repaid the last bond in October 2019. And secondly, there is SPPI Group with a decent leverage at 1.37 times, while the shareholders agreement caps the leverage to up to 2.5 times. So we have flexibility there, and we can rather freely distribute cash generated at operating companies to the top level where the debt sits. In particular, we have in place a cash pooling agreement within SPPI Group to make sure that we can use available cash flexibly. And secondly, there is a short-term depositing agreement between SPPI and both its shareholders, which enables us to deposit any spare cash to its shareholders, basically as a prepayment for dividend. So through this, we make sure that there is no trapped cash within the structure. With that, let's have a look at page number 16. It's an overview of our gross debt as year-end 2020. Both pie charts shows what we were already mentioning. 76% of our gross debt is represented by bonds, and as I mentioned, we would like go to closer to 90%. And on the right-hand side, you can see we have an ample liquidity buffer, primarily represented by 850 million of committed available revolving credit facilities. More importantly, I would like to draw your attention to the bottom left-hand chart showing the debt structure as of year-end 2020, and we have indicated two refinancing actions for 2021. Firstly, in blue dotted lines, we have indicated the issuance of 500 million bond at EPIF in March, proceeds of which we used or are going to use to repay 400 million term loan with original maturity date in 2025, and the rest will be used to repay both Schuldscheins and private placement maturing in 2024 till 2027. The second refinancing action is SPPD bond. Since SPP Distribucja is the monopoly gas distributor, which of business is very stable, delivers really stable results and operates under a transparent regulatory framework, we believe this is a perfect candidate for a bond with longer tenure, being it 10 or even 12 years. We are quite confident regarding this refinancing, and we believe it's primarily about choosing right time to get the right price for this bond. And having completing these two refinancing actions, we would comply with all three major points that I made at the beginning, meaning we would significantly increase our average tenor while optimizing on interest cost. we would maintain current level of structural subordination, and we would increase our bond exposure closer to 90%. With that, I would conclude the financing section and have a quick look at page number 17, focused on ESG initiatives, as this is one of key areas we always look at. And there are three points I would like to highlight. Firstly, in April 2020, we received our inaugural ESG rating from S&P, where we scored 65 out of 100 points. We were particularly happy about this outcome, as we were first CE entity to receive such a rating. And this year, we are looking forward to updating the report and publishing it, ideally during second quarter. Secondly, last August, we published our 2019 sustainability report that we would like to update and issue also during the second quarter. And thirdly, I would like to highlight that EPIF nominated Gary Mazzotti as an independent board member, as a member in charge of ESG agenda, to make sure that there is sufficient attention to this crucial matter. With that, I would hand over back to Gary to take us through the business section overview.
So thank you, Václav. Just to confirm that the finance department has managed to have an extraordinarily successful year with regards to the capital structure of the business. So congratulations to all, and especially a highly successful issue of 2031 bonds only a small while ago. So congratulations there. Key divisions, some of you know them well. Ustream remains the number one division with regards to EBITDA for the group. We remain core to the transmission of import gas to Western and Southern Europe. In particular, we provide a significant proportion of gas through to the Austrian and indeed the Italian markets. A third of all European import capacity from Russia comes through our networks. Ustream is 51% owned by the Slovak state. It has its own investment grade ratings and indeed a successful bond issue in 2020. Tariffs remain fixed for a 5-year period. New tariffs are operational from 2022, and we do not expect any significant changes to that. In fact, the tariff structure is set at the commencement of each contract, long-term ship or pay contract that we have. The modus operandi of the business remains the same. I mentioned at the end of 2019, a new 5-year gas transit deal was reached between Russia and Ukraine. This reserved 65 BCM in 2020 and 40 BCM for the east-west flow through Ukraine in the 4 years following, with an additional 10 years option. We remain, therefore, very confident in the business, high cash conversion, again, relatively low levels of maintenance capex. We have completed our capex for the receipt of Nord Stream 2 gas via our Lanjot facility via Czech Republic. And the end of this year, we will complete the capex on our Slovak-Polish interconnector, after which CapEx for Ustream can be considered to be maintenance as opposed to development. If we move therefore to page 20, the core remains, we remain critical for the supply to Italy, Austria, Central Europe, and indeed for reverse flows itself into Ukraine. We will, with the completion of Nord Stream 2, play a pivotal role in the transmission of gas north to south, not just east to west. We, with the positioning of the Slovak-Polish interconnector, we will be in a position where Ustream is able to take flows both ways with Ukraine, both ways with Poland, both ways with the Czech Republic, with Austria, and with Hungary, which positions us uniquely in the central core position for the transmission of gas. Nord Stream 2 is not operational yet. We believe it will be towards the end of this year, early next year. But as you know, it still has some geopolitical implications, including sanctions from the United States on contractors completing that pipeline. Our business plan assumes that Nord Stream 2 is completed at the end of this year. Should it not be, it's mildly incremental to us the longer that Nord Stream 2 isn't completed. Overall, therefore, the dynamics remain the same. Western Europe receives its gas, its import gas from the following markets, from indigenous production, which is primarily in Holland, which is falling. It receives its gas from North Africa, which is using up more of its own gas in meeting its own requirements. It receives gas from Norway, which is close to peak production from Norway unless they open up new fields. And therefore, to make up for supply falls of gas in Western Europe, Western Europe's main sources of supply will remain LNG from the US and Russian gas itself. LNG is a gas market that goes to the highest purchaser. Currently, hub prices in Asia remain high, so the majority of LNG exports from the States goes to Asia. On the demand picture for gas remains fairly constant. Markets, particularly Germany, are taking out nuclear capacity, coal capacity, and indeed now have a roadmap for lignite capacity to come out of the energy mix. Other markets such as Italy are phasing out black coal. Poland is beginning to phase out black coal. Belgium, France, and UK have their own nuclear issues. So in the transition of Europe away from CO2, natural gas, import natural gas, and Russian natural gas will continue to play a very core part in the transition story well into the 2030s, 2040s. So that's the transmission story. Very quickly to gas and power distribution. Vasek, if you want to do this for us.
Sure, Gary. On slides number 21 and 22, we are showing results and key highlights for SPPD and SSD. As you probably know, SPPD is the monopoly gas distributor in Slovakia, while SSE Distribucia is the natural monopoly of power distribution in central Slovakia. You won't see many changes on those slides as compared to what we were presenting last year. The reason is that both businesses are regulated and the regulator is very concerned with stability of the regulation and namely with stability of distribution tariffs, which has been proven over several regulatory periods. With respect to the current regulatory period, which shall end at the end of this year, it has been announced that the period is to be extended by one additional year till end 2022. We understand this is because of COVID pandemic and partly also because of change of the regulatory authority body. Nevertheless, we have no reasons to believe that for the upcoming regulatory period there would be any major changes in the regulation or in the structure of distribution tariffs. With respect to operational results of the segment on page number 9, you can see that volume of gas distributed in 2020 remained at the level consistent with 2019. And the reason for this stability is that gas is used for heating in Slovakia, and therefore demand for gas is quite inelastic. On the other hand, you can see almost 5% drop in volume of power distributed, which is connected with overall decline in economic activity in Slovakia over 2020. However, the financial impact is lower, and this is thanks to the fact that majority of power distribution tariff is fixed, and we are facing volume risk, namely with relation to households where the consumption is rather stable. So overall, the power and gas distribution segment delivered very, very stable results and proved its resilience over 2020, which was quite unusual year. We can have a look at slide number 23, showing heat infra highlights. In 2020, namely at the beginning of the year, we were impacted by a warm weather pattern causing lower heat offtake, and this effect was coupled with pressure on power spreads, as Gary was mentioning earlier. Nevertheless, the segment delivered still robust results. And even after disposal of PT and BERT in Q4, the group remains a significant heat supplier in terms of terajoules of heat supplied in the Czech Republic, also significant power producer in terms of megawatts of power produced in the Czech Republic, and thirdly also a significant provider of grid balancing services to the Czech power market operator. On the top of that, I would like to mention that the business is regulated in the Czech Republic, and also due to its nature, it's rather resilient to economic cycles, which offers a high level of stability and predictability for this segment. And with that, I would hand over to Gary to take us through highlights for storage business.
So gas storage, I think we've mentioned before, market leader, 24% in the region. We have a unique capacity to be able to move gas between those three countries, an extremely successful acquisition of storage facilities in Bavaria, connection to the hubs, a very moderate capex requirements, superb cash flow. Very happy with this division. Clearly, we remain positive with regards to gas storage. And if you excuse me just for a second, we remain positive in the strategic importance of gas storage in the development of the future of gas story. And of course, I will use the development or the transition from grey to blue to green hydrogen, and we believe that gas storage is a strategic must in the transition story that will take place in gas. So again, very happy with gas storage. We will then conclude on page 26 with recent developments. Clearly, I've already mentioned we disposed of two of our district heating businesses. We are extremely happy with the disposal prices, and we believe that strategically it made sense with regards to Budapest. Indeed, the BERT facility was a generation of heat for Budapest. It wasn't the distribution network. So firstly, it is in a market, Hungary, that we do not perceive as strategic for us, and secondly, it was in generation of energy, which is not our core regulated or long-term contracted. So for Hungary, the disposal, I think, was strategically relatively easy to make. For Praska Teperenska, a more difficult decision to take, but effectively the source of heat was contracted in the long term from a third party, and the source of that heat was lignite, and therefore by disposing of this asset, we will significantly improve our ESG credentials as well. So on balance, we think the disposal of these assets, which no longer were producing high cash flow returns on EBITDA in addition made sense. We go on to confirm that we remain well within our proportionate net leverage targets, and we don't think there is any material risk or change to our financial or business profile. And indeed, as I mentioned, I believe for our ESG profile, the disposals are actually positive. Subsequent events, congratulations to Václav and his finance team. We have been reconfirmed by S&P for BBB with a stable outlook. And indeed, we were delighted to issue our first 10-year bonds to 2031 at the EPIF level, unsecured notes at 1.816%, which I think gives EPIF an extraordinarily competitive cost of debt as we look strategically into the future. And as Vasek has confirmed, we used part of that facilities to pay off shorter term facilities. In conclusion, a strong performance from EPIF, one that we're extremely pleased with, development on the corporate structure, which leaves us in a better ESG position, and the establishment of a longer line of Eurobond finance, which leaves the group ideally positioned for whichever strategic directions we choose to go in the future. So that ends today's press release. Happy to open up Vasek and myself to additional questions, or indeed, as some as you know, we're happy to do one-on-one investor calls at any time. Please don't hesitate to call us. So thank you very much, and we'll hand that over to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. To withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. And if you've joined us online, please press the flag icon on your web browser. We have no questions at this stage.
Okay, that's super. We've come accustomed to not many questions at this stage. So I wish everybody on the call a successful week, a safe week. Thanks for joining the call, and speak to you all soon. Thank you.